Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Eric Wetterling. He's the founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, it's actually been a couple weeks since you and I last chatted. I hope you had a very happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And now that we're kicking off the new year, man, oh man, I'm still seeing some select precious metals stocks continue to be very strong. Others are really just moving sideways, it seems like. The market is broadly strong for these precious metals stocks, especially silver stocks, but I think you can make the argument that gold stocks still can play some catch-up. We'll get into that a little bit later. The first thing I want to talk to you about is a comment you made to me as you and I were just chatting before recording here. You said that you are changing your playbook when it comes to trading some of these stocks, and you said that you are not fearing a rip higher, which obviously sometimes you get a rip higher and then it makes you feel like you need to sell and take some profits off the table. What's leading to this change in strategy here, Eric?
Well, I mean, I would say it's mostly us, you know, looking at how the market acts, and I get a feeling that, okay, people are looking for reasons to buy right now, at least more than before, because I still think especially the gold juniors are, obscenely cheap relative to the price of gold. But I've seen some moves in the different stocks. I mean, where previously, let's say between 2017 and early 2020, you would see perhaps a rip, and the profit taking would, you know, commence immediately, basically, and it would get sold down, and then people would get bored again and sell even more, and they would be, you know, back in a subdued price environment, unless the news or the assay results or whatever was, you know, almost spectacular. I mean, we've seen the Gray Mining, etc., and Great Bear pump out the drill results, and those stocks have done really well, but they were, you know, few and far between. But I get the sense right now that, I mean, I think a lot of sellers are gone, actually, and there are many shares in strong hands, and I've seen quite a few companies that, you know, have gone up, let's say 20% in a given day, and the next day they might dip for a while, but they end up like 16% higher or whatever. I mean, that reminds me of 2016, and I remember like selling First Majestic Silver at the first leg up, basically. And I think that was around, I don't know, $6. That continued to like 24 or something. But that was because I was stuck in, you know, the bear market mentality, which we had seen in late 2015, 2016, and many years before that, where the actually best strategy was just basically sell every rip because it always went lower, almost every stock. But nowadays, again, I see them behaving quite a bit differently. I see dips being bought a lot quicker. I mean, I've seen Rookmaster Resources, for example, be down 12% intraday and then finish up neutral. So I take cues from that, and so far it's been, you know, working out, because most of my favorites have, the ones that have done well, they've just, you know, kept on going, basically. And again, since I'm a value trader, I'm more likely to sell when they get overvalued, just not look at the technical stuff. And I mean, I would argue that there's a lot of gold juniors out there that are not even close to being overvalued. I mean, I can only imagine if the sentiment was what it was at the 2011 top. I think some of these juniors would be trading like 200-400% higher or something. And obviously, that tells me at least that, I mean, we're not even close to being overbought or being in a frothy market environment.
Now, remember that 2011 sentiment that you referred to. That was the top, too. So we do need to be a little bit at least cognizant of that. But hey, I agree with you. There is, I think, a better attitude towards these stocks, and especially some of the standout stocks. There's been some very strong trading in them. But Eric, you always talk about finding value, too, right? So why not maybe trim some of your positions that have run and rotate that money into some of these stocks that you think provide even better value?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing which I'm trying to combine basically, because as you said, I mean, I am a value trader. So if you have three stocks that I think are, let's say they, I could really see 100% upside from a fundamental standpoint, and one goes up 100%. I mean, obviously, I'd like to rotate some of that into the ones that haven't revalued yet. But at the same time, I mean, if you're in a bear market mentality, you might be, picking pennies in front of a steamroller. Let's say one goes up 20% or something, and you're thinking like, oh, it will never catch fair value anyway. So I might, rotate a bit out of this already. So now I'm more keen on, letting them run closer to what I would consider fair value. But at the same time, as like said, I mean, I'm constantly comparing every holding I have versus every other holding I have, and obviously looking for new opportunities as well. So I mean, it's not like I'm not, taking some profits off the table when these run. It's just that in a, let's say, a year or two ago, I would be probably taking more profits and earlier, and so I guess I'm combining the value trading aspect a bit with a momentum strategy in some way.
That makes sense. And you know what? It sounds like you're just letting more money ride in these stocks, but you are still maybe taking some profits and putting that into other stocks. And it's actually been a strategy that's worked quite well for this sector, is that because it's in a bull market, if you can rotate those profits and for the most part keep your money in the market and buy the dip, well, you've done well, especially in the last year. Now, Eric, when it comes to the balance of gold stocks, silver stocks, even copper stocks, there is the argument that gold stocks, well, they are more undervalued when you compare it to the gold price. Silver stocks have really run, and the silver price has run too, but silver is still way off of its all-time highs of about a decade ago. Where are you seeing value, or where are you most attracted when it comes to individual resource stocks?
Yeah, I mean, I'm most familiar with gold and silver, obviously, but I've been starting to look at some copper plays. I kind of like Doré Copper, for example, which is a small junior with a mill actually, and a few assets. And it's obviously a bit harder to value them because I'm not, again, that familiar with copper plays. And I do believe in the saying that you should stick to what you know, because otherwise you don't really, I mean, it's a much harder time to know when something's undervalued or overvalued if you can't value it in any shape or form. So I try to stick to gold and silver. And honestly, I mean, I have said for a year or so, or maybe longer, that I think that on average, I mean, the silver juniors have been chronically overvalued because they've always almost priced in a higher silver price than what the current price actually is. And in contrast, the gold juniors have been pricing in a gold price that has been a lot lower than where it is right now. So I still think that the risk reward is on average a lot better in the gold juniors. But at the same time, I mean, like, look at Bitcoin, for example. I mean, when a momentum trade gets going, etc., I mean, there's some huge opportunities there. And obviously, I mean, if a lot of people like silver, and we're pretty much, in the beginnings of a real bull, as you said, I mean, we're not even close to the all-time highs in silver yet. So, I mean, do I think the silver stocks can have, huge potential? Yeah, I really do. But from a, relative value perspective, I'm not, buying silver juniors hand over fist, simply because that's not my style of investing. Because anytime I buy something just based on momentum or whatever, where I don't see the value proposition, I feel for right or wrong that I'm taking on a huge amount of risk. So, but if I see something that I would consider cheap based on a fundamental value, I can have huge positions. And again, I mean, that's just how I'm wired, I guess. I want to feel that I'm actually, outsmarting the market, because if you're trading momentum, you're not really outsmarting the market. You're just riding on stupidity. So, I mean, I don't know. It just fits more with me, the value investing standpoint. But I do try to dabble a bit in, you know, trying to find some silver juniors that are not, you know, grossly overpriced.
So, Eric, how, and this might be hard to answer, but how are you balancing out valuation here? Because in all fairness, valuations across the board are higher. Are you using resources in the ground, drill program size, jurisdiction to compare to other companies? Is there a way you can simplify what you're using to compare the value here of individual stocks to each other?
Well, that is a really good question. I've been thinking about writing an article on that. It's really hard to explain. I think, as some say, investing is more of an art than a science. So I don't stick to anything in particular, like, okay, what's the EV per ounce or whatever. I mean, because that wouldn't factor in, you know, the management team, the avenues for growth, the risk to the downside, risk to the upside, etc. So it's really hard to say, but you kind of get a feeling sometimes, and that you can get by just looking at how the share price behaves. Like, okay, would success here, let's say it's an exploration play, would it, you know, would it get attention? Would it be rewarded? Because I mean, it sucks really to be right on a fundamental standpoint, and you know, the share price doesn't react accordingly, especially if, I mean, if capital gains is your goal. It's like Novo, for example. I mean, I think it's absurdly undervalued, but the market doesn't care about that. So that's also one thing I guess I learned this year. It's like, okay, there's a way you hope the world would be, and there's a way it is, and you have to adapt based on, you know, other people's expectations, because they're going to be the ones selling or buying up your shares. But to try to answer your question in a short way, I guess, yeah, it's a combination of everything, basically. I mean, first of all, if it's an exploration story, I really want to see tier one to tier two potential, because otherwise it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's not going to be a mine in 10 plus years anyway, so then you need the market to reward you with attention. And I don't think many people care if you find a new tier four project or whatever. So when it comes to that, I really want it to, you know, be a swing for the fences type of scenario. And otherwise, I like, you know, developer stories, for example, where they can basically potentially force the value to go high, which I think will happen with Novo, for example, if Beaton's Creek delivers. Because I mean, you can say what you want about the potential of Novo, but you can't really argue with a cash flow statement. Yeah, that's basically in short what I try to look for. And I try to stay away as much as I can from pure grassroots exploration plays, because one of my biggest fears is to end up in a raging gold and silver bull with no gold and silver. And so I mean, I do dabble in them, and I have a few. I mean, I have SK Mining, for example, which I guess could be seen as a grassroots play. But at the same time, I really want some meat on the bones if it's a, you know, a core position or whatever, because I think the gold and silver bull is inevitable, and I think that you could actually just buy, you know, an index or whatever, a gold ETF, mining ETF, and still do pretty well relative to the other sectors in this market. So I try not to get too greedy, I guess.
Okay. Hey, thank you. I know that's a tough one to answer, but I'll look forward to seeing if you do release an article on how you judge valuations. But again, everybody does that, or at least projects valuations in a different way. Eric, good chatting with you, buddy. Nice to have you back on the show in this new year. I look forward to chatting with you throughout 2021. Thanks for your time, Eric. Have a great rest of your week.
Same to you, Corey. Have a great day.